Hi Laura, thank you so much for taking the time. I know we had to reschedule a few times, and it's nice to finally, talk to you.
Yeah, so great to be here. Thanks for so much for having me.
I want to go back to 2006, when you first released, I think when you released Falling In, I think that was your first album. Can you tell us what led to that first album and how you prepared for it, the journey towards that first album maybe?
Yeah, they always say you have your whole life to write your first album. I wrote that when I was a young teenager, and yeah, that was just about love, lust, everything in between, all my experiences as a teenager, and it's kind of fun to go back and listen to those songs and see how far I've come.
Were you I mean was this like a I mean did you independently release it, and or was this by a record label? Was it distributed by a record?
Now that album back then is all independent. I recently signed with a label, but yeah, it's been a long journey of music, and it's been amazing, and it's really interesting to see the progress and all of my life changes.
You said you wrote that as a teenager. I mean, I'm guessing. I mean, how did you prepare? I mean, was this during while you were studying as well, or were you doing music full time even then?
Oh no, I was in school, but my dad is an amazing musician. My whole family's in my band, so I grew up around music. My dad has a recording studio, so as a teenager, I did it all. I recorded, did school, and even had time to be inspired to write these songs.
Right. How was the, I mean, once you did release that album, I mean, in today, I mean, in 2021, we have a lot of, independent distribution schemes. Like, you can promote your music via, Instagram or Twitter or YouTube. How was it, in 2006? I think MySpace was like the dominant, at least social
Oh yeah.
media network. And I think YouTube was just starting out. It was nowhere popular to how it was today. How would you go about, promoting your album, or how did you get the word out?
Well, I was huge on MySpace as a teenager, actually. I had like 100,000 followers, and I really did really well in MySpace. I sold out even back then when I was really young, like 13, 14, 15. I've always utilized social media. Like even to this day, I'm really big on Instagram because it's really important to get the word out. MySpace was actually really great because people were going there looking for music. So I do miss that time. It was really cool.
Did you I mean 100,000 followers on MySpace is huge, there's no doubt. But wait, did you think of, I mean, at that point in time, I think Facebook, YouTube, whatever is huge today was just starting out back in 2006, 2007, 2008. And did you think that these platforms would be so huge as that they are today? And do you are you are you making use of that are you making use of these platforms in such a way that to promote your music as well?
Oh yeah, well, Facebook isn't really a music place, unfortunately. I didn't think Facebook was going to be this popular and MySpace would be gone forever back then. But Instagram's my favorite place. I have like 50,000 followers, really trying to organically grow on there. But Facebook I do have, but I wouldn't say Facebook is a big music platform, that's for sure. And of course, I've been on YouTube since it came out as well. And that's always great to have.
Right. So after that first album, your second album came out in 2009, the Live On album. Was this, I'm so sorry, were you still a teenager, or were you still studying, or was this after you had graduated, or?
Yeah, this was still early teen. This was still late teens by 2009. Yeah, and I think I was 18, 19. And yeah, that album was a little bit more I had been dating a little bit more, growing into who I am. So, yeah, that album came out and that did really well too. That was also independently re released. You know, I have a recording studio, so that album is really special to me too. There's some songs on there that are really interesting. There's a song called The Answer Within Me about dating three different people. There's some interesting things that I wrote about back then, so it's really fun to listen to again.
During these albums, can you tell us a little bit about your writing process? I mean, did you write these songs, in collaboration with, with your family, or would you write these, would you be inspired by dating someone and then would you write a song? Like, what was the writing process like?
Yeah, it's never really technical for me. Sometimes I just write after being with somebody. I mean, back then I definitely wrote from personal experience a lot. Yeah, my dad, I did collaborate on a few of the songs back then, but most of the songs on that album are me and guitar, singer-songwriter songs about life and growing up into early adulthood. So I listen back to those, and it's kind of like a time capsule for me, and I love it so much.
Right. And I think, you were pretty, you seemed, I mean, you did not take a break off of that album as well, because I think the next album, which is Change, it's Change, It's All Right, I think comes soon after that. I think in a year or so, in 2010, you released that.
Yeah.
So you were pretty busy. Were you writing full time, or like how?
Yeah, that time in my life, I actually started touring. I was touring at the time all over the country, all over in different countries. And that's when I really started to gain momentum. So Change, the song Change, was actually a really bluesy song. And that's what kind of catapulted that album. My voice is very soulful. So that song, we actually did a music video for that. It was for this foundation, American Foundation for Children with AIDS. And I toured all over the country promoting this cause. And that's when that album came to fruition. So that album is really interesting because there's a lot of songs about the world and changing the world and trying to help people, that album.
Was this the first time that you were touring as well? I mean, was this your first experience touring the whole country, or was this something that you've done before?
That was my first time for sure touring the whole country around 2010. That was really exciting for me. I had the family with me and we were going everywhere. So that was exciting, and that's how that album came about.
Right. So at this point, you would take about 4 years for your next album. But during this point, after the release of Change, can you tell us like how you were approaching? How you were approaching the music industry? To break into the music industry, did you consider yourself already in it? In the music industry per se, or were you thinking of going mainstream? Like, how were you approaching these questions?
Yeah, I was just really touring a lot, and for the next 4 years, actually, that's why it took so long for me to write the next album. And I was opening for so many different artists: Jonas Brothers, John Oates, Hall & Oates, you name it. At that time, and I was just seeing where the music industry would take me. And I also knew that I would never ever settle for a bad deal, and because there's a lot of craziness in the industry where people try to change you. So I definitely went through a lot of that, where I didn't want someone to try to pick what I was going to sing. And that's really where I really started to find myself more in the next 4 years. The album after that, I believe, is Bruised and Soothed, so that was a big one for me.
Did you write, was this like, you took about 4 years, building up with this album. Were most of the songs, or at least some of the songs, were written during, while you were touring, or was this like post-touring, you went into the studio and, wrote these 13 songs on a stretch? Like, can you tell us the writing process of this album?
It's a little bit of both. I had broken up with someone after a couple of years, after 4 or 5 years. So this album, Bruised and Soothed, was really a collection of that and finding myself again. So during touring, I was with someone that we broke up, and I got really into bluesy music, and there's a lot of songs on there that are really heart-wrenching and finding myself again. So I think Bruised and Soothed is actually one of my favorite albums I ever released, because I wrote every single song on that album, just me. It was really inspired, and I had moved and a lot of life changes during this time.
Right. A lot of people tend to, when they want to make into the music business, I think, you know, stop me if I'm wrong, but I think they generally move to LA or, you know, some of these places, Nashville, if I'm not wrong, where, you know, the music scene is pretty intense. Did you make any changes like that, how important do you think, you know, it is to move to places where, you know, there's a lot of action, or is just putting your stuff out there enough?
It's definitely important. I actually tour Nashville a lot. Nashville's definitely not my place. It's more country. I'm not a country singer. LA is very different as well. I like New York and Philadelphia. That's where I feel comfortable, because it's more my taste in music. And I live in Philadelphia now. And it's just, that's where I feel more comfortable. But I also travel a lot. You know, it just depends where you feel comfortable. And I never felt like I needed to move to Nashville or LA, although I spent a lot of time there.
Mm-hmm. In the same year, 2014 is seems like a very busy year for you, because you released two albums in that same year. Your next album was Where the Blues Hangs Out. I think that too also came out in 2014, and you know, both these albums did have 13 songs. Was it the same writing process that, you know, some of the songs you wrote while you were touring before that, or did this album also have the similar writing process as the Bruised and Soothed? Or
I actually got on a blues tour, got really into the blues in 2014, and my Blues Hangs Out album was played all over the country on blues radio. I've always been into the blues, this was the first time I decided to do a whole album of that, because my life just kind of led me there. So that's why I ended up there. And it was really cool. I mean, now I'm not doing just blues, but it was a really cool touring experience. And I met a lot of people through that.
Right. For people to listen to your next album, it'll take about 7 years from that year. But before we get there, can you tell us a little bit about your touring schedule? Pre-COVID, obviously. Do you tour like, 100 days in a year, or how does it look like?
Now it's been slower. We're picking up again. I've been really picky since then. I mean, before COVID, it was, definitely like 100 shows a year. Now we're easing in, because there's constantly an outbreak, and you don't want to put all this time in to get ready for a tour that it's canceled. So you have to be, we're being really cautiously optimistic.
Right. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, a musician's day-to-day life? Like what does your day-to-day life look like?
I wake up, I go to the gym, and then I'm in the studio most of the time lately. I own a recording studio with my family, so we're constantly making music and writing and getting ready to go perform. It's really music all day long. It's really fun. And I always knew this is the life I wanted.
Right. For the next two albums, which is Chill and Let's Get Together for Christmas, there's obviously a gap of about 6 to 7 years. Can you tell us why did you wait for, you know, so long for an album release, or was that more of an intentional choice to?
I actually wasn't writing. I was touring a lot, and I felt kind of stuck, and I wasn't writing. Which happens, because once you release a lot in a row, you know. Mm-hmm. And then finally, I went back to my roots of singer-songwriter, and I wrote Chill, which I wrote every song except for two covers we did, and that album blew up in the Philadelphia area. It was played all over. That album is very different than the blues album. It's like a real singer-songwriter. The whole album, start to finish, is relaxing, and really meaningful, and I really took the time to write that album, and I that's that album still gets I get people every day. That came out in 2018, I think. I'm trying to remember because they re-released it this year, so I'm making sure.
But oh yeah,
yeah. That came out in like 2016, so there wasn't that long of a break.
Oh right, because I think I saw it on
Spotify. Spotify, yeah. They re-released it.
Right. Yeah, that's why on Spotify it showed like the year of releases 2021. So I was just
it was like 2016, 2017. Yeah.
Right. I was just going to ask you because it seemed like, you know, you take a break for a while and then in the same year you seem to release two albums. Yeah. That happened in 2014, yeah. But obviously I think there's some Chill seemed to have been released in 2016. Oh, all right. Your latest project seems to be Let's Get Together for Christmas. How was it writing a Christmas album?
Great. I actually, in August, I signed with Sony Music, which was unbelievable. They found me on Instagram. I thought someone was joking with me. But my hard work has definitely paid off. I am distributed through Sony Orchard and So Bold Entertainment, which is my management company. So it was their suggestion to do a Christmas album. It was amazing. We have so many originals on there, and it was just a really easy process because Christmas music, I wanted to do my blues funk flair, and it did really well this Christmas season, and I'm so excited because the new album in 2022 is now coming out with Sony Music, which is called Reverberate. The first single is already out.
Oh, is this your first album with a record label?
Yes, it is.
Congratulations on your deal, and but also, can you tell us like what's the like since you've released multiple independent acts before, you know, being signed, what was the major difference that you saw that a major record label that impacted you, or you know, some things
well,
that
lucky they've for me, yeah, they bring in distribution, which is amazing. So they're really getting it on platforms that are beyond my reach. But luckily, they let me release what I want because they believe in me as an artist. And as an artist, I don't settle and let people tell me what to do music-wise because music to me is personal. I don't write just to write. So, you know, they've been amazing and they really, really love the music I'm coming out with. And I've been writing constantly in the studio. So Reverberate is out. The music video is also out. You can get that on Spotify. It's called Reverberate. It's a really R&B sexy song. And the whole album is going to be really soulful and really fun.
What about, wishing you a very happy new year, but do you have any upcoming album for 22, or is there something that you're is there something?
This is it. This is the album coming out. It's called Reverberate. Yep, that'll be out in 2022.
Oh, okay. I'm so sorry about that.
It's okay. The single's called Reverberate, and then the album's called Reverberate too.
So besides that, are you also working on your, something else also, or do you want to,
just that. That's going to take a lot of work. Yeah, the first album with Sony is going to be a lot of work.
Right. Besides music, I think you do some charity work as well.
I work several American Foundation for Children with AIDS. Like I said before, I work with various charities, breast cancer awareness. I volunteer at hospitals. I try to do everything I can. LGBTQ, Black Lives Matter. There's everything I can support, I will. And I'm always, always doing charity events. So I was just named a Superwoman of South Jersey, which was really a big honor. And it's really important to give back and show people how much you care.
I think you, if I got the facts right, you were also involved in this reality show, I think called The Next Great Family Band. Can you tell us about, can you tell us the experience about it and, why you decided to, go for it?
It was really, because it was so beautifully done. They didn't pin us together or anything. They really just showcased my family and the beauty of making music together. So it was the perfect show to be on because they really showcased us in the best light. Yeah, that was amazing. And that's how I actually got a lot of my touring from people seeing me on national TV. That aired on Cozy TV and NBC. So that was a really big deal for me.
Mm-hmm. You're very active and popular on Instagram as well. Can you tell us, like, you know, how distribution on, you know, social media platforms has either, you know, impacted your growth as a creator, but also as a musician artist?
Yeah, you know, Instagram is, I've always been great at social media because I really like to connect to people. But, you know, even being with Sony, they really, it's giving me a leg up and another platform. But I really like to connect to people online and I love being in person. But since COVID, it's even harder. So it's really interesting to come up with creative ways to interact with people online, ask questions, do fun little games, hippie thoughts, you know, it's, people are dying for some content right about now.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, I mean, you have both the experience of, you know, releasing independently plus, you know, with a major record label. Do you think in 2021, I mean, obviously in the 2010s, you know, in the late 2000s or early 2000s, you know, getting signed to a major label was a very big thing. Do you think in 2021, is it still as relevant as major labels are? Do you think they're still as relevant as they used to be before? Or do you think the internet has really, you know, upended that whole business?
I think they are relevant. I have a distribution deal, so it's, you know, really focused on the music and not really taking control of me, which is great. But, you know, because there's a lot of independent musicians out there. So when you have a bigger platform, bigger name, there's just more that can happen. Like I'm going to be doing a huge radio campaign with Sony. So you'll hear me on FM station. So that's going to give me an even bigger leg up. So it's really amazing.
Right. And I think finally, your favorite song of 2020?
My favorite song of 2020. Oh, I do my hair toss, kick my nails. The Lizzo song. I think
Lizzo, right. Okay, all right. Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. Was that 2020? I don't even know. Feeling
no
good as hell. I think that's 2020. I don't even know.
I think that's 2019. I'm not sure. I think that's from. I'm not sure. I think we can fact check that later.
That's the one that came out. I don't know dates, but I love that song.
Right. On that note, Laura, thank you so much for taking the time, and it was wonderful having you.
Thank you so much for having me.